Welcome to Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, and every week at this time, we bring you inside the world of travel, from hotels and tours to cruise ships, planes, trains, and things you can eat or read on your trip. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com, or check out the show later on Facebook on blogtalkradio.com or on my website, danschlossberg.net. My special guest tonight in the 327th edition of Travel Itch Radio is Tanya Wilhelm, author, travel writer, and animal lover, and she'll talk about traveling with your dog. Welcome, Tanya, to Travel Itch Radio.
Thanks, Dan, for having me. I love speaking about dogs and dog travel, so I'm really excited to be on your show.
Thank you so much. Tanya Wilhelm is a writer, blogger, vlogger, and published author who loves exploring new locations with her trusty canine companion, Dexter. But she's not alone in seeking and enjoying dog-friendly travel. Pet ownership has been on a consistent rise for more than two decades. So, Tanya, tell us, are hotels more welcoming to dogs these days?
I'm happy to say I think so. I've definitely seen with my travels that hotels and resorts are opening their doors more and more for dogs and actually offering some fun dog-friendly perks.
That's good to know. And what about planes and trains? Can people bring their animal companions?
That's a little bit trickier. Personally, I haven't flown with Dexter. He's still on the larger size, and so I don't recommend flying the pets in cargo, and so he can't fly in the cabin. I know that Amtrak did a little bit of a pilot test. I think they're still kind of doing it in the Midwest, but they're limiting it to different certain locations and 20 pounds. So I don't quite think either one of those are quite there yet.
Well, my dog is 14 pounds, and I have taken her on auto train. So that's owned by Amtrak. So you can take the dog on the train. The only problem with that is the train never stops. There's no way to get out and walk the dog. So that's a big problem. Tell us about Dexter.
Yeah.
How old is he? How big is he?
Sure. Dexter is an almost 10-year-old Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, but he's a large one for his breed. So he's almost 30 pounds. And he does actually have some neurological conditions too. So it's quite an adventure when we're traveling together. But he's very well traveled, but doesn't quite fit that 20 pound or underneath the cabin size limit.
Yeah, true. Well, you talk about raising your pets naturally. In your words, what does that mean?
So I really try to promote for people to really try to look at what they're feeding and putting on or in their dogs and trying to be as chemical-free as we can and trying to look for natural alternatives if there are some, and really being a big label reader. So before we, grab the shampoo and scrub our dogs up, to take a look at that ingredient panel and find out exactly what's in it. I also am an advocate for a fresh food diet, so either a fresh home-cooked diet or a fresh raw diet versus a processed kibble, but just trying to keep everything natural and healthy as possible.
That's a good idea. So tell us, how well does Dexter handle the stress of travel?
Oh, he loves it. So it's definitely Dexter is a stress-free dog. He is just, I've been socializing him and taking him out and about ever since I brought him home. So traveling and being in the car and being at new places is just another adventure for him. He's my sniffer dog, so he just loves to, put his nose to the ground and smell new things and investigate. So he's a breeze traveling.
How well does he get along with other dogs?
Oh, he's fine. So he was really well socialized as a puppy to meet and greet other dogs. He's not a dog player, meaning when we're out and about, he's like, there's a dog, no big deal. He's not one where he's like, oh, there's a new dog, I got to go say hello. So for us, it makes traveling really nice because he's not so focused, on trying to say hi to all the other dogs. He's more focused on what I'm doing and what we're looking at.
Was he a rescue dog?
He was not. I actually did get him from a breeder.
Ah, okay. Okay. We're talking with Tanya Wilhelm about traveling with your dog. Tanya, is it easier to travel with a dog domestically or internationally? I guess you don't do too much international travel, right?
No, when Dexter was a youngster, we did take a couple trips up to Canada. So we did drive up to Canada, and he's almost 10 now. So that was, about 7 years ago. And it was pretty easy at the border at that time. I'm not sure what the requirements are today, but at that time we just needed his health certificate and, a copy of his vaccines. And I handed the border people his papers, and they didn't even, bat an eye. And we kind of went up and down through Canada probably half a dozen times when he was a youngster without any issue.
Well, since your dog goes everywhere with you, does he have his own passport too?
He should. He really should. He just has the typical identifications, but no, he doesn't have any passports. But they do sell some really cute ones online, so I've been pretty tempted.
And also,
he does
when
have
you
his own travel mat, though. Yep.
Oh, that's good. When you travel, is it just Dexter and you? And does having a dog make it easier to meet people and make new friends on the road?
That's a good question. We travel a couple different ways. Dexter actually does have a doggy best friend. His name's Levi, and he's another Cavalier King Charles, and he goes with my friend. So my friend and her dog, we go a lot on some of our trips. And they really seem to bond and like kind of sniffing and hanging out together. Sometimes we travel with my parents, so sometimes he's the solo dog, and sometimes Dexter and I will take a little road trip by ourselves. But it's definitely a good way to meet people. I mean, we can't go out too far without someone stopping and saying hello to Dexter and hello to his friend. Dexter does have a neurological condition, so a lot of times when we're out exploring, Dexter's actually in his dog stroller because he can't walk. So that does grab some attention, and I have to do a little educating on why he's in there.
Would you share some memories, Tanya, of the most memorable and enjoyable trips you've taken with Dexter?
Oh, sure. They're all fun, and they're all, great memories. I would definitely probably say the one that always sticks to my mind is actually that first road trip with Dexter, which was the time we actually went up to Canada. And he was about 6-7 months old, and we were on this big lake with this nice old cabin. And we were just on the water, and we were hunting frogs. I was pointing out little frogs for him, and he was all excited to see the frogs. And he was all wet, walking around the rocks. And then we went inside the cabin and just kind of sat there on the chair, and he was just looking out the big glass window at the water and the lake. And it was almost like you could kind of see a, wow, this, life's really good. Like, this is really enjoyable. And it was just kind of one of those fond memories that I have with him.
How does Dexter get along with other animals, like cats, for example?
Well, we actually have cats in the house. So he's fine with cats. We've seen rabbits. One of his really fun friends that he had when he was younger was a little pony that we used to go visit. He's pretty even keeled about, seeing things.
Oh, that's good to know. Well, one pet-friendly place that I love, and I mentioned it to you off-air, is the Colony Hotel in Kennebunkport, Maine. It's a stately white structure on a hill and a member of Historic Hotels of America, but it caters to a sizable canine crowd that loves the landscape grounds, the wraparound grand porch, and the scenery of coastal southern Maine. I know that you've been to Portland. Have you been down to Kennebunkport as well?
I have not. And, I wish I would have, known about that 2 weeks ago when we came back from Portland, because I looked it up and it's only about an hour away from Portland, because that just sounds beautiful. Maine is definitely, that was our bucket list state that I've never been to, Dexter never went to. So that was a first experience for us. And we were there for 4 days, 2 days in Portland, 2 days in Bethel. And it was just fabulous and very dog friendly, very, very accommodating. It was a great, great week for us. So it definitely is worth another trip. So I might have to check that out.
It is worth another trip. Where did you stay on your trip?
Yeah. In Portland, we stayed in actually off of Portland in Cape Elizabeth at the Inn by the Sea, and they cater to the dogs. They're dog friendly. They actually don't have any pet fees either, and they actually have adoption program where they'll have a foster dog that's with the staff members all day long and lives there until they find their forever home. So that was really neat to be able to see the foster dog that was there, and then she got adopted out like 2 days later and stuff. And they have like the doggy menu. The dogs were allowed in the lounge, and you know, while you had some food. It was a beautiful, beautiful inn.
Oh, that's really good. How about in Bethel?
Bethel, we stayed at the Bethel Inn, and that was a really nice dog-friendly inn, too. It was totally different experience from being inland and then being on Portland. Inland was a little more laid back, and we just, you know, toured the town and got to see all the ins and outs of what was going on. And it's a pretty big golf community there, too, so that was pretty interesting. And it was just a little more rustic, which was really – it's really nice to kind of see the difference, you know, the rustic versus the working kind of – Portland area. So,
well, one of the things that I have with my dog when I bring her on my trips, I want to make sure that she's not alone in the room when housekeeping comes. So I want to be there
yes.
when housekeeping comes, because the dog, you know, she's a good watchdog and she reacts to strangers. She doesn't know that they're just doing their job. So how do you handle that
right.
situation?
If we're only there for like 2 days, I actually put the little – Dexter's usually with me all the time. So if housekeeping were to come, he wouldn't be in the room. If we're somewhere for longer, like we're staying a week, and like we mentioned earlier, you might leave him home to go out to dinner and stuff, I end up putting the little do not disturb tag on. I don't leave Dexter in hotels alone. I've left him in like when you rent a rental home or a rental cabin when that place is just your own, and then they're not coming in to clean. So I would feel pretty weirded out about leaving him when someone's going to come over without me. So.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. We're talking with Tanya
yeah.
Wilhelm about traveling with your dog. Tanya, there are many restaurants that have outdoor dining areas where dogs are allowed, and my dog Chelsea sits quietly under the table and behaves herself. How about Dexter?
She's a good girl. Chelsea's great. I love hearing that. Dexter's really good, too. He'll just lay there. He might try at first when he lays down to go, am I going to get any snacks? And as long as I don't look at him, I don't pay attention, he's like, okay, I guess not. And then he'll just lay his head and go to sleep. But, he will look at me like, is there an opportunity? And as long as I just kind of ignore that, then he'll just settle in. But if there's an opportunity and someone, you know, sometimes the servers and the hosts will sometimes start dishing out snacks, that's actually when he gets a little more goofy. As long as no one's feeding him snacks, then he can just kind of chill in.
My experience is, as long as the dog has water, you know, we carry a little plastic water dish and fill it up with water and put it next to the dog so the dog doesn't get dehydrated. And usually, you know, she's pretty satisfied that way. So
good.
Let me ask you this. Was Dexter prepared to travel by a professional trainer? Or by you? And do you think it's a good idea to train a dog before it travels, especially if it's going to encounter other dogs?
Sure. Well, I've actually been a professional dog trainer for almost 21 years, so I trained him. So he's self-taught by me. I actually started my career training service dogs, so kind of knowing what to expect and how a dog should behave in public was kind of how I kind of started him, to make sure that, again, he's not trying to mooch after everything. He stays with me versus on the extended leash three tables over. So right when I brought him home, I started socializing with him, getting him out and about, taking him to new adventures so that things weren't scary or new, and so that he can learn how to listen around different distractions and, you know, have some good leash skills, not pulling on the leash, not barking, being around different animals and things, so that, again, whatever we encounter when we're out and about should be kind of a non-event. So yeah, I definitely think it's important though. I think it's important for all dogs, but especially if you really do want to have them integrated into your life and to be able to travel with them and to take them to, you know, events and things like that, that we really need to get them out and about and start socializing with them and teaching them manners. And if you're a pet owner and you don't know how to do that, then absolutely I would work with a trainer doing some group classes or private instruction. And I would definitely recommend working with the trainer with you versus dropping them off so that you're learning the skills how to handle your dog.
Very well said. Tanya, what are your favorite destinations and hotels for dog-friendly travel?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'd say every week it's something different. It seems like every experience we have, I'm like, oh, that's a favorite. And with Dexter, I'm kind of like Dexter in the sense that, you know, we kind of go with the flow and can find enjoyment with pretty much anything, always trying to find the bright side of things. We like the rocky shoreline of Maine, thought that was awesome to be able to, you know, climb around the rocks there and see all the nice waves. Go down south more. We hit the beaches of the Outer Banks. I definitely think we like to get toes wet, you know, get in some kind of water, even though we're not swimmers, but just to kind of muck around on the water always tends to be really nice. Favorite hotels and stuff. I like experiencing ones that aren't chains. It just seems to be a little more personal and just there was always some really neat things and neat people. We tend to meet a lot of really fun and unique individuals when they're individual type of hotels and resorts and stuff.
Okay. And I want to tell our listeners, you're listening to Travel Itch Radio with Dan Schlossberg. Find the archive show on blogtalkradio.com or check out Travel Itch Radio on Facebook. We're also on iTunes. And we're talking tonight with Tanya Wilhelm about traveling with your dog. Tanya, have you always had pets and anything except a dog?
I've always had dogs growing up. I think I had a couple pocket pets when I was, you know, really, really young. I saw some pictures of it. I've also had cats through my adult life as well. My cat actually just passed at age 20 a year ago. But pretty
wow.
Much dogs and cats. And yeah, and he was a stray too. And when I rescued him, I rescued him about 17 years ago. They thought he was about 3, and they said, "Oh, he won't live very long." So, but yeah, so he lived to we guess about 20. But dogs and cats have always been, you know, my favorites, and dogs are a big passion of mine.
Do animals travel well, in your opinion, or do you feel they generally behave like ill-tempered toddlers on planes?
Oh, I've seen some of those toddlers, and we always kind of joke, my dog's better behaved than your child's better behaved.
There you go.
I think it really boils, and with kids and dogs, it really boils down to the parents. You know, if they're paying attention to their dog and if they're paying attention to their kid, then you're going to have well-behaved kids and dogs. So I do think they can travel well as long as they're taught how to, and that when people are out with them, they pay attention. I think that's one of the biggest things I see is the people just not really paying attention to their dog versus being that connection. I think if you connect with the dog and know where they're at, then they're going to be better behaved.
I agree. Tanya, you're a published author. Could you tell our listeners some of the things you've written?
Sure. My first book was called Please Stay, and it's about treating dog separation anxiety. And then I have Proactive Puppy Care, and that's about puppy training and teaching them how to travel and be good companions and all those, everything puppy, basically. What's for Dinner, Dexter? It's a home cooking book, how to home cook for your dog. And then Dexter's Delights, which is a healthy treat book, home-cooked dog treats with health benefits.
Yeah, I've got to get a copy of that Please Stay because my dog still has severe separation anxiety. It's really incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be gone for 5 minutes and you come back and she acts like you've been gone for years. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you know,
off radio, just let me know. I'll send it to you. My previous dog is the the foundation of that book. My previous dog had all kinds of behavioral issues. He was a rescue as well. So separation anxiety is really common with dogs who are rescued. And it's sad, but there's definitely things that we can do to help them. So it is a step-by-step guide to do that.
Good to know. You're also a blogger and a vlogger. What does that mean, and where can we find your work in those areas?
Sure. So I have my blog, which is my website on everything that I write. So basically dog lifestyle. So dog training, dog recipes, traveling, you know, anything that can revolve around our dogs and cats. There's cat things in there as well. And then I have the vlog, which is the videos. So this year I started to up my vlogging, where I'm not just writing about my traveling with Dexter. I'm also doing video vlogs where I'm showcasing and showing through video where we're at and what we're experiencing. And everything can be found on the website at raisingyourpetsnaturally.com, and the videos and all that have their social media links right there on the front page, and then the articles are also indexed there too, so you can go in and categorize and kind of see what it is that you're looking for. But if it's about dogs or cats, it's probably on there.
Yeah, and people can just Google your name too, right?
Yeah. Usually I come up, that photographer might come up. But, yeah, if you do Tanya Wilhelm, you probably type in Tanya Wilhelm and Dexter, and I'll probably come up pretty good.
Oh, yeah, that's good. You touched on this a little bit. How and when did you start experiencing travel with Dexter?
So with my previous dog, you know, he had some behavioral issues, so I never really was able to kind of get out and adventure, which, you know, was really disappointing for me because I had, you know, real high hopes for that, but we had to deal with some other things. So once Dexter came into my life, it was like, all right, I get to do all these things that I had to put on hold before. So pretty much since he was a puppy, but we actually went to that place in Canada quite often. That was kind of our place that we went ever since I was a child. And then around three, when he was around three, I started to kind of venture out to some other spaces, some other destinations. And this past year, I just kind of said, well, wow, let's try to do the whole United States, you know, now that he's already 10, you know. So that's kind of one of the goals that I'm trying to do. And I do realize he's older and we do have to drive everywhere, but we have our little United States map with our little stickers, and we're trying to see what we can cover in his little life.
How do you find dog-friendly hotels? You must plan that in advance, no?
Oh, yeah. So when I travel with Dexter, you know, I have to kind of pre-plan everything, or at least have some ideas so that I don't just kind of show up and have, you know, no clue on what we're doing. I've been contacting a lot of the travel destinations, like each city has a you know, tourism bureau and stuff. Those tend to be great starting points because they kind of know their area and they know what hotels are dog friendly and even some what restaurants are dog friendly and things like that. So that's kind of where I start. And then I just kind of do Google, and I just kind of Google around and look for, you know, different things. And I look at the reviews and the photos, so, you know, to try to make sure that, I mean, they don't have to all be fancy. I just want to make sure that they're comfortable and safe, and then I can go outside at nighttime with Dexter to potty and feel comfortable, you know, that I'm not, you know, in some shady area or anything like that. And then I just look to see if they have outside patios, and I usually shoot them an email and just ask, you know, are you dog friendly? You know, I got a small dog, he's well behaved, and, you know, to see where that kind of leads. And then I take little notes. And then when I go there, I have all these areas that can be possibilities for us to check out.
Tanya, you live in Toledo, Ohio, so do you travel more in the warm weather, or do you travel in the winter, too, with the dog?
And, you know, the funny thing is everyone's like, oh, come out here in July, come out here in August when it's summer, and those are the times that I don't travel with Dexter because he doesn't tolerate when it's really hot. So we are actually finishing up our travel here the next week, and we're going to have a little hiatus until fall again. So I tend to travel with Dexter. And again, it depends on the state, but kind of that 70-ish to cooler. And I try to avoid the hot hotness. And we do travel in the winter too. We're not extreme, so we're not the ones, you know, hooking up the sleds and going, you know, snowmobiling with Dexter, but we do still try to, you know, get out there and still explore even when it's winter, just kind of bundle up a little bit. And it's a little trickier too, but we still find things to do.
Okay, Tanya, we have a call. Area code 859, you're on Travel Itch Radio.
All right, I was wondering if you had any tips for keeping your dog safe in the car while you're traveling, and then good places to stop for potty breaks. It kind of freaks me out to stop by the side of a highway or something.
Yeah, so I do travel with Dexter in a crate, so he is in a travel crate. Depending on the size of your dog, they do have different travel crates and different dog harnesses that are actually tested, crash tested. Unfortunately, Dexter can't fit into any of those properly, so he's just in a regular travel crate that is secured into the car. As far as pit stops go, I do tend to go, if I'm driving down a place that has the regular rest stop areas, I do tend to do those, and I try to park up close to the door. I try to be seen. I tend not to go, for the most part, to the little potty areas that they designate if they're in the little fence and it's kind of like stones and kind of mucky looking. I tend to kind of come up front. And I'm just always aware of my surroundings. I do have citronella spray that's in my pocket if I'm alone or feeling insecure. That way I do have just some sort of something with me. And I just make it short and sweet during those potty breaks, you know, just kind of walking around and again, taking a little look behind to make sure that everything's there. And I do walk around with my keys in my hand too. So that could quickly, you know, pop the car open and shut.
Okay. Thank you for your call. We have to move on now. Tanya, you promote pet products too. Which ones do you recommend and which ones do you recommend against?
Well, it kind of just depends on what kind of product. If it's a product that has an ingredient label, there's actually ingredients in it, the very first thing that I do is read the ingredient label to make sure that all those items that are in there are safe and non-toxic. And that can be a challenge, and that can be time-consuming too. And then I also want to make sure that if it's certain products that it's a safe product. You know, I don't use any, you know, my training, it's all positive. So I don't use anything that's going to cause any injury or scaring of the dog. Some of the things that I use for traveling was kind of like what the caller said. I have a travel crate for Dexter. With his neurological condition and him being a senior, I use a dog stroller so that when he's too tired and can't make it anymore, then we can just plop him into the dog stroller. He's also got a cooling mat, so it's just a mat that he can lay on and keep cool, which I can actually put in the dog stroller as well, and I can take it out when we go to restaurants too, so that, you know, depending on what the floor looks like in the restaurant, he can lay on that. That also helps him kind of know where he's supposed to be. And you talked about water. I also have a water container. It's stainless steel. And then the lid actually doubles as a cup. So when I unscrew the lid, it's a cup, and I can pour the water right in there. I do keep a leash when I'm with Dexter, you know, when he's out and about. His leash, the clip to the leash is like a safety leash, so that won't slip down like the typical kind of leash that you pull down. Those can actually fail a lot of times and get loose and the dog can slip out. So I especially think when we're traveling to make sure that that leash is really secure for him.
Okay, thank you, Tanya. We're out of time, unfortunately. We've been talking with Tanya Wilhelm, an expert on dog-friendly travel. How do Travel Itch Radio listeners learn more about dog-friendly travel and your projects? Really quickly, because I've got to close the show.
Yep. You can find everything on my website, raisingyourpetsnaturally.com.
That'll be great. Thank you, Tanya. And listeners, when you're thinking about gifts for Father's Day, birthdays, or graduations, how about the new Baseball Bible, my 424-page illustrated unorthodox history of baseball, the most unusual baseball book ever published, 424 pages, less than a sawbuck, such a deal. Order on Amazon.com today. Have it in plenty of time as a gift for your favorite baseball fan, yourself, or your dad. If you want an autographed edition, come to my signing in Cooperstown from 11 to 1 on July 20th. That's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Next week, same time, same station, same announcer. We'll talk Tahiti with Deborah Brolets. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.